I'm currently leading with Jenny Batten what is called a life practice program, which is part of Interplay. I love its title, Life Practice. We always say that we are practicing meditation, beginning afresh each day, being drawn closer to the source and paradoxically closer to each other. Perhaps we are practicing life too, finding out what works and what doesn't, doing something new, learning new tools and body wisdom practices. I wonder what is inspiring you at the moment. What practices are giving you life? Some of you have enrolled in the retreat in daily life. This is an opportunity to reflect on your life with a spiritual companion, to receive nurture from some talks on Meister Eckhart, and to spend time with God. Spend time in those practices, those experiences that lead to life, whether it be working in the garden, dancing or cooking or reading a book, singing, watching the footy, playing tennis, or just being in the bush or sitting in the sun. The retreat in daily life invites you to take some space in your daily life to reflect on what is important to you and where God might be in all that. I commend it to you. But what is important about the retreat in daily life is that you do not walk alone. You have a spiritual companion. And there are others who are doing the same thing at the same time. There are lectures to listen to and digest, and there are opportunities to speak with others if you would like. And this retreat not only builds us up individually, builds us up in love, helps us to discern practices that are life-giving for this season of your life, but it also strengthens the bonds, the branches, the leaves within the Benedictus community, the waterhole, supporting one another so that we can live our life in the world as we are called, being beacons of light and love in our actions, in our communities, in our world. The creative arts retreat, the embodied listening retreat, the silent retreats, and small group offerings also, in their own way, nurture the vine. I'm attracted to the image of community that the vine metaphor in today's reading offers, the nature of connection, of mutuality, with one goal of producing the fruit of love. O'Day says, in the image of the vine, there are no freestanding individuals in the community, but branches who encircle one another completely. The fruitfulness of each individual branch depends on its relationship to the vine, nothing else. What matters for John is that each individual is rooted in Jesus and hence gives up individual status to become one of many encircling branches. There's an image for you. The story is set in the context of Jesus' last day, where he's wanting to encourage his followers, to give them words of hope. When the gospel writer put it all together, it is a time when Jesus' followers are being dispersed and persecuted. It's a tough time where there seems to be little hope. So these words are to hearten them and us. To assure them and us, Jesus' presence is in the midst of it all. Jesus in and with us individually and as community, with the desire for this presence to to be shared more broadly. There is a pruning for a more abundant future. And no matter what happens, God will not abandon us. As we heard in Holy Week and at Easter, Jesus' death is about walking with us through all the ups and downs, walking to the end in love, bearing witness to the truth of God's presence and love, which goes beyond the evil and violence perpetrated on Jesus and on so many others in our world today. Resurrection says yes to life and yes to hope. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and my Father, God, is the vine grower. It is God who plants and tends, and now Jesus' followers are grafted into this and enfolding one another, living deeply with nourishment from the soil through the roots of God's love." So literally, in this metaphor, Jesus abides in those grafted into the vine. There is a mingling, an intermingling of all, so that they are, we are, one, with the purpose of producing the fruit of love, rich and sweet, good vintage wine or grape juice. I don't know whether you resonate with this image or not. I don't know whether you've spent any time with grapevines, with their bare trunks in winter, with their new shoots in spring, with the forming fruit in summer, and the harvest and yellowing leaves in autumn. The vine grower's role, that is God's role, is to tend, to fertilize, to prune, all with the aim of increasing the abundance of fruit, cutting away that which is not productive, trimming so that the fruit will be full. It's not an image of individual gifts, but of communal working for the common good. No differentiation. We are all in this together, grafted into the vine, drawing sustenance from the soil. Life is grounded in community. We are planted with neighbours. Our vines and root systems enmesh. We drink the same water and breathe the same air. Jesus taught that you can't love God and not strive to love creation. Bruno Barnhart writes, "Abide in me, root yourselves in this central place and remain rooted here, and my life will flow through you and bear fruit in the world." Bill Loder affirms, "The language of abiding in, or simply being in, is the language of intimacy, almost sexual in tone, but expressing a continuing relationship of closeness. For John, wholeness is above all a relationship with the Godhead." We are in this together. Wayne Teasdale suggested that striving for a common goal with shared philosophy and values can make the difficulties of living with others easier. Yet one definition of true community is that it includes individuals who are difficult. Or even abhorrent. And here is our true challenge as mystics in the world: to create community with those who are so different from us that we feel we have nothing in common with them. As our world becomes smaller through a growing common culture, the true test of community will be our tolerance for our most profound differences and love for the most challenging among us. There's something to ponder. a community like a vine is somehow mutually responsible for its members. They have something in common. It may just mean that they live nearby or rely on the same utilities or are intentional gathering like this one. Communities may fall and disperse or grow and deepen around emergencies. Anzac Day insists that we are connected to one's pain. Anzac Day insists that we are connected and one's pain and loss affects another's. One's sacrifice affects us all. I invite you to consider for a moment what communities you belong to. For me, I live in Lynham, North Lynham, a suburb of Canberra. I am part of our Benedictus Contemplative Church, and I meet with people online each morning and evening in meditation, as well as this service on Saturday evening. I'm part of the Interplay community, which meets erratically throughout the year for gatherings and play. I'm part of All Saints Anglican Church, Ainslie. I suppose my extended family is community and my friendship group. I'm a member of the Australian Network for Spiritual Direction and a small online poetry and music group. Thank you, Heather. And a contemplative photography group. Thank you, Francis. I meet regularly with a group of spiritual directors, as I did this morning online. I live in relation to Earth and her creatures, including humanity. Working in the garden and Jesus' teaching of the vine helps me not to panic, but to live into the perspective of our connectedness to one another and to the Holy One. Malcolm Geet quotes John 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. They that abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And then he offers this poem. How might it feel to be part of the vine? Not just to see the vineyard from afar, or even pluck the clusters, press the wine, but to be grafted in, to feel the stir of inward sap that rises from our root, himself deep planted in the ground of love, to feel a leaf unfold a tender shoot as tendrils curled unfurl, as branches give a little to the swelling of the grape, in gradual perfection, round and full, to bear within oneself the joy and hope of God's good vintage till it's ripe and whole. What might it mean to bide and to abide in such rich love as makes the poor heart glad?